Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting from the front lines in the battle for freedom and liberty, Olympia, Washington. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And once again, Happy New Year. This has already been a fantastic year. God has a lot in store for us this year. We're going to be talking a little bit about that on the show today. And I just want to say this, if anybody out there has a spirit of fear, bind that and cast it out right now, in Jesus' name. Get it out of your family, get it out of yourself, get it out of the church. The spirit of fear really holds us back from the Lord doing what he wants to do in and through us. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We can't end in prayer, we must move to action, and it's I've been talking about there's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is part of the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the kingdom is clearly preached so that we get outside the four walls of the church, we expand his kingdom, that we actually preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. And Jesus isn't here to preach the gospel of the kingdom except through each one of us, his believers. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, quote, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. For its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." How fantastic is that? My goodness, that's a promise. But here's what the Lord is doing in this time. The Lord is removing the fence everybody's been sitting on. He's removing the middle. You've got to choose one side or the other. There's no more fence sitting for the church. There's no more, I'm kind of concerned that maybe some folks might be offended at what God is telling you to say to them. Really? They might be offended that you read the scripture that makes them uncomfortable and repent. They might be offended that you read the scripture that provokes them to get off their duff and out into society, expanding his kingdom. This is a man-made idea. This can offend some parts of the church. They might leave, and then our giving would go down. Wait a minute. Who's in charge? And do we really trust God? And this is key, this one phrase. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He's supposed to be the center of everything. We're focused on him. We're aligned on him. All that other stuff should fade away. What are we afraid of? And I've seen not only the spirit of fear, I've seen the spirit of religion, and I've seen the spirit of politics. Now, if you want a specific scripture for that, Mark 3 talks about this leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians, and that was the religious spirit and the political spirit of the time, which was always trying to distract the church from the true purpose Jesus had. It was always trying to derail us with man-made religious rules, traditions, or political rules, traditions, trying to get us focused on party in one sense or on religious denomination in the other sense, instead of focused on Jesus. Jesus Christ is the true theology. Jesus Christ is who we are choosing. And Jesus Christ is choosing us. We're supposed to be aligned on him. We're supposed to be in his presence. And again, everything else fades away. So again, what are we afraid of? This idea that you know, God's going to do it regardless. No, he says we are co-laborers. We're co-heirs too, but we're also co-laborers with Jesus. That means that we're supposed to be doing something. That means that when we're walking in the supermarket and our heart starts beating really fast, it's one thing to be singing in the pews, "I'm no longer a slave to fear." And then yet, when we're out in the supermarket and Jesus says, talk to that lady behind the counter, and we're like, oh, no, that's already passed. You can't really mean that. So you're no longer a slave to fear, except when you go talk to the lady in the supermarket or your boss about Jesus. That doesn't make any sense. If we trust in the Lord and He is our trust. And that brings me now to our guest today, who I just dearly, dearly appreciate, and appreciate his heart and his ministry and his story and his testimony. My good friend, Reverend Matthew Cummings of New Beginnings Fellowship in Kettle Falls, Washington. Thanks once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Great. Praise the Lord. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So there is a lot, it seems like, is going to happen this year. This seems to be a critical year, not just in the in world history, not just in United States history, but in the history of the church. Can I give the listeners a little bit about what you think is coming in this year, what you think the church should be doing, the body of Christ in the truest sense?
Well, you know, one of the things that has been very much on my heart for this year has been that God is, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is calling for His church to really begin to speak boldly about Christ, but also act boldly in the moral sense on every area of society right now. We're not called to sit back. We're called to move forward. The gospel is in a aggressive message. It's a move forward message. It's not a defense message. It's an offensive message. And for far too long, the church has been in a sit back mode, just sit and get, instead of get and go. And so I believe right now that God is calling for the church to be more aggressive and not only sharing Christ, but also being very much on the forefront of speaking what is right and wrong here in the land and not being afraid of the consequence. You know, there's that passage that's quoted where it says, for we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we loved not our life unto death. And, you know, you spoke earlier, Representative Matchie, about fear. And that word fear itself, when you kind of check it out a little bit more, it means most people are afraid of death. And so fear is something that God is looking to remove out of His church this year by moving us in a position to be more uncomfortable, but actually being pleasing to God. The other passage that comes up right away is, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith means an action, you know, an active conviction that Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And that is to be in every aspect of our life here during this time.
Well, let's talk about this time. You know, President Trump is being assailed. Congressman Steve King also at the national level. Now we're seeing it at the state level. We're facing some of the biggest threats to this country, and actually to the church, if you think about it, in America at least, in recent memory. What do you think the true threats are, and can you articulate for the listeners what's really behind everything that we're seeing right now? Because I think folks get lost in, hey, so-and-so's attacking so-and-so, and kind of misses the big picture.
Well, this is a not just a physical battle, but more this is a spiritual battle, a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And there are, unfortunately, many people in both parties at times that unfortunately don't realize that their attack against Trump, whom God put in the position as president, and whom the Lord's hands upon, by the way, are basically attacking, not because they have a moral compass, but because basically they're being used, what I believe, by the evil one at this time. And so it's very important for God's people, for the church, to recognize when the spirit of truth is speaking and when the spirit of error. And a lot of the attacks right now to our nation and to the church is by a spirit of error. Anytime you hear anything like the word progressive, anything progressive in regard to how that's being used is socialism. And socialism in its entirety is anti-God, anti-cross, anti-God, anti-Christ, and is very demonic. And so words like income inequality, that first off is not an American term, that's a European term, but more importantly, it's a demonic term because overall, frankly, each man in our constitutional republic has been always given the opportunity to make a good life for themselves. And so God right now is requiring us and requiring those who are listening, Christians, to be more understanding and hear what the Spirit of God is saying right now, which is be more and more and more discerning as to what's going on and understand that the enemy of God, the enemy of our souls, is in the forefront of the attack against President Trump. By the way, Representative Matt Shea, you and others who are standing for righteousness in the political area.
You know, when we see this happening, a lot of folks, you know, they'll say, "Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry, you know, for what you're going through." And I'll look at them and say, "Well, I'm not. I mean, the Lord has made this a tremendous blessing. People are starting to wake up and realize, hey, this is not just about President Trump or Matt Shea. This is about the people in the church."
That's right. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Right now, whenever there is a change coming, the forerunners are always hit first. Biblically, the prophets were always attacked before the people and the house of Israel was attacked. And unfortunately, most Christians don't get that attack against you and attack against Trump is against the church, is against, the coveted people, as like it says in Daniel. And so there's a real need right now for most Christians whom are looking at what's going on to gain Holy Spirit discernment, not get confused by the rhetoric, not get confused by the high yelling emotions, but gain discernment as to what's really going on, that it is really about tearing down our constitutional republic. It is really about removing the influence that the church has here in America in every institution in our great nation.
Matthew 10:34 talks about the idea that Jesus came to divide. He came to bring the sword. And there are a lot of folks out there who say, division is terrible. We just need to be unified and everything. But Jesus actually came to divide. And in the right sense of the word, if you could describe that for the listeners, that's actually supposed to be a good thing.
Well, it is, because the Bible speaks of that the word of God, that Jesus has a two-edged sword, and that it is used to cut between the bone and the marrow. It is also used to remove that fence that you talk about, so then a man or a woman will make a decision for God or against God, for what's right or what's not right, so that by that God can deal with the heart of the man or woman. But even more, us as believers can actually hear clearly when someone is speaking of a spirit of error and someone's speaking of a spirit of truth. And the Bible is always the reference for the truth, which is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we should always look at all these things according to the scriptures, in Jesus' name.
One of the things that we are seeing right now happen is this weaponization of labels. You know, everybody that wants to follow the Lord in righteousness, believes the Constitution means what it says, is suddenly labeled. They're either labeled domestic terrorists, they're labeled white supremacists, they're labeled haters or fascists. And it's interesting that these same terms were used in the former Soviet Union to persecute the church. And we're starting to see these things again, which really I think for all of us is a sign of the times. How do you think we should be dealing with some of this stuff that is getting thrown at us as Christians? Because a lot of folks are saying, well, if my reputation, you know, gets assailed, I can't go really preach the gospel, and then I can't do the things the Lord wants me. So I want to protect my reputation. How do you refute some of those things that really are holding the church back?
Well, one of the things I had to grapple with, and now if I may share it this way, as I was ministering overseas, God requested that I get involved in the situation, starting with Barack Obama being elected as the first black president. And of course, I had to look at my rep, but even more, I had to look at Christ's rep, and that Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I found the Spirit of the Lord asking, you know, it was worth me dying for you. Can you not take some heat for me? And, you know, when God asks that question, and I believe that question is being asked to every Christian right now, is Christ worth the ridicule? The apostles took ridicule and died for Jesus. They died for the faith. And we're heading in a direction that most of the church doesn't want to go, but it's where we're headed, where God's asking the church, am I worth the ridicule that you're going to suffer? And so I had to grapple with that, and I came to the conclusion it was worth all of the ridicule, because my Lord is not my Lord, but he's my master. And so for many Christians right now who are beginning to feel the heat, is Jesus your Lord or is he just your friend? See, to me, he's my Lord. Yes, he's a friend, but he's my Lord. And therefore, that word overcomer, and that's why I've always, whenever people quote, I'm an overcomer, I always go, Representative Mache, really? Do you know what that means? Do you know what's being said there? You realize that when that was being said in Revelations, that it is about standing in the midst of persecution? And by the way, I get that silence right away.
And that's the, you know, this idea that we're going to have it easy. It's always been easy in America. It's never going to change for us. We're going to have it easy as Christians. It's only in other places in the world that things are difficult, like North Korea or Nigeria. You know, it is,
sure,
is interesting. Explain to the listeners a little bit about the baptism of suffering. I know this is a big topic, so go ahead and take your time.
Well, Jesus talked about the cup of suffering. You have to excuse me for a minute. I'm going to turn in the car for a minute. Sorry. Jesus talked about the cup of suffering in regard to when James and John, the sons of thunder in the scripture, asked if they might be able to sit at Jesus' left and right when he comes into his glory. And Jesus said two statements to them. He said, can you drink the cup that I drink? And they answered right away, yes, we can. And can you be baptized with baptism? They say, yes, we can. He said, well, you will definitely drink the cup that I drank, and you will definitely be baptized, but for you to sit on my left, my right, that's not for me to give. That's for my Father in heaven. That word cup is the cup of suffering. And it was always believed for close to 2,000 years that a believer following Christ would go through this cup called the cup of suffering. Because as a disciple, That is just part of the call. Now, you know, we can get into who's a disciple, who's not. That's a whole other issue. But the cup of suffering is viable for one to walk in the anointing of the Lord. And that comes down to, is Christ worth suffering for? Is he worth suffering for? And the answer is yes. And so for many people, the reason why that spirit of fear is rising up is because back in their spirit, where God and them are, they're beginning to hear the Spirit of the Lord say, am I not worth this? Am I not worth a little bit more discomfort? And that's really where the church is right now being brought into in 2020. This next decade will be a decade of, is Christ not worth the cup of suffering? The other thing that you know, that I'm going to say to the listeners, you can't walk in power without the cup of suffering. It's a part of the deal. The reason why you're not having miracles and healings and signs and wonders and people not recovering when you pray is because you've not embraced the cup of suffering.
It's a profound idea to embrace it. A lot of people want to push it away. A lot of people want to hide from it. But a lot of people want to actually run the other way from it.
Yes.
In a person's prayer life, yeah. How do they deal with it? Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, just to finish up, Christ develops his image through the cup of suffering in us. Christ develops his character in us through the cup of suffering. He shaves off what is not needed so then we might be truly followers of Christ in that way. In regard to prayer, I have always asked the Lord, Father, I know I'm yours. Do with me as you wish. That's a dangerous prayer. But I found that the Lord has honored my being willing to go through it for his name's sake. And that is the challenge that's coming to the church.
It is a challenge. It's really already upon the church in many, many ways. And we're starting to see this with forerunners. I want to talk about as things ramp up, people are focused on kind of this idea, evil's ramping up. Well, but also every time that happens, there is a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit during those times if we're ready to receive it. We're starting to see, these attacks against Trump and everything like we've been talking about. How do we fight in the Spirit during this time? How do we, make ourselves not just available, but totally sold out, totally willing for the Lord to use us? Because it's one thing to kind of say it, but it's another thing to walk it out. How do we actually do that?
Well, there's two parts. One is, I believe it's in Ephesians, about the full armor of God, and that our battle's not against flesh and blood, against principalities and in high places. And so, Ephesians, I believe, 6, which speaks about the full armor of God. Believers should be putting it on every day and learning by the leading of the Lord how to pray in spiritual warfare. That's one. But two, God keeps asking for people to surrender. Surrender your will. Surrender your life. Your life's no longer your own. I paid for it at Calvary. And see, a lot of people have given God lip service. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want. Then the Lord begins to come collect. And that's when the fight starts.
That's exactly.
Oh, Lord, yeah, I didn't think you really meant that. Yeah, I did, because you kind of said it to me. Now, let's do this. So, a lot of what's going on right now, a lot of what Trump's suffering and you and other foreigners are suffering right now, yes, every Christian is seeing what's happening. And you know what? They can try to blow it off, but God is saying, this is coming to your door. Will you trust me?
Well, let's go ahead.
Just quickly, and I'll finish with this. Because the Bible says that a purification must come to his people. And unfortunately, purification for the church doesn't happen when we're comfortable. It happens when we're uncomfortable, because then that sword comes and the heart of that man or woman begins to be exposed for what it is. And God begins to say, like it says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. God is knocking at the doors of each Christian's heart, asking for more of their hearts. And that is the issue right now. When Trump got elected, I'll finish with this. I said to fellow ministers, fellow pastors, and those I was ministering at that time, I was a traveling evangelist around the country. When Trump got elected, I said, his election is a sign for us. We've been given a reprieve so we would grow up and surrender unto Jesus's position as not only Lord, but master in our lives. And God's looking for us to voluntarily do it. I'll leave it there.
Well, I think that brings us now to this idea of the battle with the Marxists and the really the forces behind the Marxists, the forces of evil. You know, a lot of people in the church say, oh, that's hyperbole. Don't say that. These are folks that are well-intentioned. I hear that constantly in Olympia. These folks are well-intentioned. You can respect their position. But calling Marxism evil, that's just over the top. These folks want to see people helped out. How do we wake the church up to the fact that these are actual threats and how to deal with this in the spiritual realm and then also in whatever manifestations in the physical realm actually occur as a result of that? How do we deal with that in the church? Because I've heard it over and over again. Not a big deal. You're making a mountain out of a molehill, Matt.
Well, number one, remember the premise that man is actually, that the heart of man is equally wicked has been lost by Christians. In other words, by them saying that, by most people, specifically Christians saying that, what they're saying is that their heart is good. And the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Number two, most believers, and maybe I sound a little down on that, but it's true. Most believers don't believe that Yeshua is returning. If they did, they would recognize his coming. Everything we're going through, his coming, all of these things marks to his coming back. And by the way, in regard to that, it says, Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find people who have the conviction to stand for righteousness in a wicked and dark world? And the problem, frankly, is that when they're saying that to you, they're not going biblically. They're going according to their emotions. And that's the problem. So to me, the church is going to be awakened abruptly in a way that I'll be careful here. I'll be careful, but the awakening of the church, I believe, comes because situations begin to happen, and their freedoms and their finances and everything that they've held onto as idols but God will begin to be touched, messed with, and removed. And the reason why is because during this time now, when the forerunners like you and others, and some people say me and others, spoke and said, listen, we need to repent, come to God, and stand for truth. They didn't do it. So educating the people is the right way. Bringing a message that will stir people up is the right way. Yet, it's my belief, unfortunately, that unless the church gets uncomfortable, it will not wake up.
So what do you think is going to happen here in 2020? I mean, where do you think this is actually going to go? Many people say, you know, this is going to be a historic election. I don't think they're understanding fully the time that we're in.
Well, I believe with confidence that that President Trump will win. Yet, I do believe that there is a move of God coming, and at the same time, I do believe that the church needs to remember something. The Bible says that the wheat and the tares grew up together. Well, the tares have grown up. So 2020 begins a process where the Lord is looking for those who are really weak. He's looking right now in our nation for those who are really weak, for those who will really stand for righteousness. And I'm not saying this in a way that I'm discouraged. I'm just saying it because that's what the Spirit of the Lord keeps saying. He's looking to every heart. Who will stand with him? And those who will, he will give power. And the Spirit of the Lord will pour out like never before, man of God. Amen. And others who will be touched, they will not be touched as they testify to the truth. And touching isn't that someone can threaten you, but touching is you will not be able to do what Satan wants you to do because the testimony of that person's not over. So the hand of the Lord will keep them back. By the way, Jesus offended those who were the Pharisees and offended those who weren't.
Very true.
And so I believe that we are going to see a historic election, but I also believe that God's going to rev up the message of repentance, rev up the message of church. You need to get your act together. Rev up the message of believers beginning to make decisions. And I'm hearing it all over where God is asking, I want it all. I want all of you now. And yes, tough times are coming. And God's telling them ahead of time, tough times are coming. But trust me, if you trust me, I'll get you through it. It's not the mamsy-pamsy gospel that's coming. It's the kingdom. And many people are going to be offended. But the offense is good because that exposes the heart. So, by the way, keep doing what you're doing, Representative Matt Shea. Because it is the Spirit of the Lord. And people are going left and going right, but that is what God's doing right now. He's bringing a sword.
I'm just amazed to be alive in a time like this. You know, it is that Jesus, before the beginning of time, knew that we would be here, knew we'd be on this radio show today, and placed us here. I mean, what an amazing thought that is.
You know, I've told people, they don't believe me. Others have testified elsewhere I go, when those that I, when I came through, you know, they'll tell people who didn't know. When Matt came through and preached and said, if you voted for Barack Obama in 2008 or 2012, I have a message from heaven, God says repent, and there'd be an immediate explosion. Boom! There was no quiet. There was no quiet. There was no quiet. And every heart was exposed. And but it's not, it was black churches, it doesn't matter. The Spirit of the Lord wants to divide those who are His and those who are not. And for many of us, we don't get why Trump's there. He's there for that purpose. God is saying who's with me and who's not.
That's true. Yeah. And I, you
but
know,
many,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Many Christians want peace. And they think peace means no conflict. That's not peace. That means you're compromised. And God's not going to have it. He wants to know where you're at. Are you with him or are you against him? Are you with the scriptures or are you against him?
Right now, we have an opportunity in America. We have an opportunity in the body of Christ. If you could, for the listeners, if they want to get a hold of you and talk to you a little bit more about this, where can they go to get a hold of you? Can they email you or call you, or do you have a presence online?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I can give my email address. By the way, for those who are of God and those who don't like the message, my email address is starchild48104@yahoo.com.
So Starchild, and can you repeat it?
Starchild48104@yahoo.com.
Starchild48104@yahoo.com.
That's right. And I need to give a little history. 48104 is Michigan. I won't give my story, but because Michigan is now Muslim, mostly Muslim, not all, there is a tug of war going on right now for that state. And the Christians are behind in many areas. In some places, they tell you you cannot ring your church bell on Sunday anymore. See, believers don't get it. This war has already happened. And then the phone number they can call is 360-784-1695.
There is an old maxim that the only way you can win a fight is to know that you're in one, and a lot of Christians just don't know they're in one right now. If you could, some parting words to the pastors and also to the young people, to the millennial generation.
To the pastors, and I say this with all humility, God says, please, repent and stand for righteousness. Preach the gospel with passion from heaven. Support your congregations when they're wanting to step out and get involved in not just sharing Christ for salvation, but also in standing for righteousness when the homosexual issue comes up, or any of the other issues, or the abortion issue comes up. God's asking for you to get in the fight, not stand back.
and not be afraid of the conflict, not be afraid to offend pastors. To young people, God's calling for you to surrender your whole life to Him. And so let me just pray. Father, I pray for the young people right now, those who have grown up in Christian homes and are feeling the stirring of the Spirit to get involved. Father God, give them courage and boldness. Father God, I speak that you would touch their parents, that they would support them and back them and protect them while they take the stance as needed. Father God, that the Word of God would grow, that there'd be a thirst and a hunger for the Word. And Father God, a thirst and hunger for surrendering into the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Reverend Matthew Cummings, New Beginnings Fellowship, Kettle Falls, Washington. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you and keep up the fight. It's just such a joy to hear courage among God's shepherds. I'll just leave it at that.
Can I give you one more website?
Sure, absolutely.
There's another website if people want to look on to see where I've been, what's been going on. It's macummingsllc.com. You can look on and see the different things that I've been doing, that the organization's been doing. And, we want to be as much of encouragement to God's people as possible.
Amen. Well, thank you again for joining me, and I look forward to having you on in the future here, especially as we go through this legislative session.
All right. God bless.
God bless. Well, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, we've got a lot of things going on, but I'm going to go to Israel first. And this is interesting. I've been talking about this. Benny Gantz, so the opposition to current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, has now himself pledged to annex the Jordan Valley when elected. Now, remember, this was the issue, seeing what happens in the election. And now he has pledged also to annex the Jordan Valley. So it appears that whoever's elected Prime Minister, the Jordan Valley will be annexed. And if you don't understand the importance of that, just go to the Copper Scroll Project and check it out. All right. Also, apparently Moscow, and this is coming to us again from Debkafile, apparently Moscow has given Iran high-precision technology for the missiles that struck U.S. bases in Iraq. Wow. What do you say about that? Well, I mean, I guess it's not... It's really not surprising. So, a new ISIS leader, also coming to us from Debkafile, has been identified as Iraqi Turkmen al-Salbi. So, apparently that's the new leader of ISIS, at least for a few days anyway. So, also on the international front from Israel, Hamas is continuing to bomb Israel with incendiary balloons. Israel has taken an approach, apparently, of not retaliating for those attacks. But there are other attacks that continue to occur from groups like Hamas. Now, for those of you who don't understand, Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, inextricably linked. And importantly, the book Care is Hamas, Council on American Islamic Relations, is Hamas. They were actually at the Capitol yesterday. They didn't come to see yours truly because we've been exposing how they were listed as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terror financing trial ever successfully prosecuted in U.S. history in 2008. And to this date, even though that finding by that federal district court judge was upheld on appeal, to this date, the Council on American Islamic Relations has never been prosecuted. In addition to that, Many are hopeful that President Trump would declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. And if that does happen, then all these unindicted co-conspirators would be listed. So that is why you need to keep your eyes on some of the new legislative bills that are going to be coming this week. Because they're going to address some of these issues. So it's not just the Marxists, it's also the Muslim Brotherhood. All right, also on the international front, I just can't even... Sometimes I see stuff that you shouldn't be surprised at, but it really... It still surprises me, and here it is. This is coming to us from the New American. The United Nations is throwing cash at North Korea, wait for it, to fight global warming. As if they care. As if they care. What do you think they're going to use that cash for? They're going to continue to build up and repress their people. It is the UN Green Climate Fund, or the GCF, Green Climate Fund, often ridiculed by critics as the Green Climate Slush Fund, subsidizes third world kleptocrats, as is described in this article by Alex Newman. You just can't make this stuff up. So the United Nations is now throwing cash at North Korea. Oh, we trust them. They're fighting global warming. Yeah, unbelievable. And everybody wonders why I say very publicly we need to get the United States out of the United Nations. Okay, add that to the list. Please, add that one to the list. All right, on the international front, it's interesting that Egypt has sent tanks to Libya. And other NATO countries are looking at weighing in as well. But the problem is that the Turks are weighing in on the side of the Muslim Brothers in Libya in the battle for Tripoli. And so what you have, quite literally, is a potential for a NATO country, if they weigh in Libya, to be battling another NATO country, Turkey. How does that shape out? So we're going to keep our eyes on this, and there's several sources that are talking about it, but none very in depth right now. And it's like the mainstream media doesn't even want to talk about this issue because it would expose Turkey for what Turkey really is, and that is that Erdogan is setting himself up to be the next caliph and Turkey the next caliphate, or the beginning of the next caliphate. And the Muslim Brotherhood has recognized Erdogan effectively as meeting all the qualifications of the next caliph. In fact, their spiritual leader, Al-Qardawi, actually said that. So keep your eyes on this. This is rapidly shifting, and I think there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, not just by the end of this week, but by the end of the year. And how this whole issue against the church is aligning, especially in the Middle East, let alone here, like I said. All right, also on the national front, excuse me, on the national front, DHS, 229 million biometrics that they want to put into a database. By the way, a reporter this week for NPR came up to me and said, you know, why do you use encryption, Matt? Why do you use that? And I looked at him and I said, millions of Americans use encryption, because he was trying to imply something nefarious. I said, millions of Americans use encryption. The question isn't that. The question is, why is the United States government surveilling millions of Americans who are totally innocent? And oh, by the way, they're doing it without a warrant. He said that was deflection. It's not deflection. It's true. The United States government is surveilling millions of Americans without a warrant. That's why a lot of people are using encryption. They want to keep their privacy. They don't want to be put on these big commercial databases and then solicited 24/7. That's not nefarious. That's American. But these guys are saying, well, no, that's not American. It's nefarious. So you have people calling good evil and evil good. But Matt, I've got nothing to hide. If you say that, you don't understand your duty as an American to defend liberty. Because liberty is supposed to be defended at the individual level, as well as at the community level, as well as at the state level, as well as at the national level. It's a duty that is all-encompassing. I wish people would understand the implications of that. I really, really do. It's important. Because if you don't, then you go down this road where, oh, that's okay. And it's one more step toward taking away your freedom and eventually establishing a social credit system through these commercial databases where you cannot buy something because your score isn't high enough according to their database. Where you don't get hired because your score is not high enough according to the database. There's people that think, you know, oh, that's just in China, the social credit system. No, it's actually already here in America. It's just commercialized. So let's not be naive. And I have to question, why is it such a big deal to the left that we're using encryption? Why is it such a big deal to Marxists we're using encryption? Because they're trying to establish control. And we've caught them doing it. The deep state has been caught doing this. All right, also on the national front, six companies. It's coming to us from Yahoo Finance. Six companies are about to merge into the biggest farm business oligopoly in history. You heard that correctly. It's a $59 billion merger. Dow Chemical, DuPont, and then some others. So, including, it appears, to be Monsanto. So there's a whole bunch going on. You can read this article for yourself. But that really should alarm, I think, many people. Also want to read to you from a recent Washington State Supreme Court case. It just came out. AWB versus DOE, or Department of Ecology. So Association of Washington Business versus Department of Ecology. Here's the first line of this. The first line of a Supreme Court case. This comes to us in the regional front. This case concerns a novel rule promulgated by the Department of Ecology to address the undeniable crisis of climate change. I didn't know that they had a trial on that. The issue is not whether man-made climate change is real. It is. See generally the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which has been discredited time and again, by the way. Nor is the issue whether dramatic steps are needed to curb the worst effects of climate change. They are. Now we have the court quite literally stepping into the political arena and trying to settle issues with declaratory statements like that that don't even have evidence behind it as part of these trials. Wow. So again, AWB versus DOE is the case. Check that out. Also on the regional front here in Olympia, this week we had a great rally. There were 1,200 people. Don't listen to the media. We counted between 1,000 and 1,200 people on the steps of the Capitol rallying for freedom. Some great speeches there. If you haven't heard any of the speeches, check them out. You can see them online. I've posted a few of them already. All right, also on the regional front, coming to us from Olympia, I want to go through a couple bills, okay? So I've been talking about some of the bills that are really important. I'm going to talk about some of the bills that are really not concerning. They're just, you just can't make this stuff up. All right, ready? Here we go. House Bill 2747, establishing the state microanimal, the moss piglet. I'm sure the moss piglet is very cute, but do we really need to be spending our time on that? Freshness labeling, House Bill 2651. That's interesting. There's also another bill on on if something is actually flushable, it now needs to be regulated. Or if it's not flushable, it needs to have some really important labeling put on it. Now, this is in addition to these gun control bills, and in addition to all these gun control bills, actually, and in addition to the Democrats setting the stage to really raise taxes. So understand that all of this stuff in Olympia that is happening right now is part of a Marxist plan. They are marching down that road, and those people that have stood against them are now being labeled. Why do you think they chose this year to try to come after people like me in America and President Trump and Congressman Steve King? These last 2 years, they decided to come after us because they have a decision cycle. They have a planning cycle culminating in 2020 with the election. So be awake as to what is actually happening out there. I really mean that. And I want to thank all of you for all the well wishes and all the messages and just thousands of messages and comments and emails and phone calls. Been amazing. Blessings to you all. Thank you to all of the groups out there that have come forward and support all the county parties, including in Idaho, for goodness sakes. Thank you for that, Benoit County, that have come forward in support. And it's going to take all of us to fight against this tyranny that is rearing its ugly head. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation truly the greatest one.